Welcome to the America Magazine podcast. America Magazine is the national Catholic weekly. Visit us online at www.americamagazine.org.
Hello, this is Tim Reedy for the America Magazine podcast for the week of November 12th. We're happy to have with us this week Bill McGarvey, the editor-in-chief of BustedHalo.com. Welcome, Bill.
Thanks, Tim. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Busted Halo is run by the Paulus Fathers here in New York. Now, maybe you'll tell us a little bit about Busted Halo. Now, when was it founded?
It was before I got there, so it was 2001, I think, or 2000. So it was about 6 or 7 years old, and I came on board in May or June of 2004.
Okay, and tell us a bit about it. What's the goal of the site?
The goal of Busted Halo is, you know, it's meant to be an online magazine for spiritual seekers in their 20s and 30s, and what that means essentially, that the Paulist charism has very much always been about evangelization. And, of course, you know, the Paulists are about to celebrate their 150th anniversary. Father Isaac Hecker founded the order in 1858. And so 2008 is their 150th anniversary. And they were always evangelizers and people that actually brought converts into the Catholic Church. Of course, over the past 150 years, that's changed a bit, the way we evangelize, the way they actually do mission to America. And they're very, as a lot of people know, they're very into media. They have the Paulists have a Paulist Press, which has been around for a long time, as well as Paulist Productions, which is a film and television office. And the internet is sort of the next level, but it's very much not just for a Catholic audience. It's for like an unchurched audience of people that are the generation of people that call themselves spiritual but not religious.
Right, and it's BustedHalo.com, and you put up content pretty much daily, right?
Every work day, essentially, yeah.
So 5 days a week, and it's a mix of interviews, reviews of films, that sort of thing.
It's about sort of the intersection of where, because generation of people we're talking to, unlike our parents' generation, people in their 60s and 70s or late 50s, these are people that maybe didn't grow up with a big grounding in faith. And a lot of people are very alienated from institutional churches. So a lot of what we do is talk about the intersection of culture, popular culture, and faith and spirituality, and institutional religion. We try to have, you know, continue a dialogue on that, which a lot of people. We also have a radio show on Sirius Satellite Radio that tries to do the same thing.
That's Father Dave Dwyer,
who's the head of the Paulist Young Adult Ministry, which is the umbrella under which all these things operate. Yeah, so he's Dave's a former MTV and Comedy Central producer who left, I guess, about 15 years ago and decided to move into become a priest. He entered the Paulist Seminary.
Right, and then he also has a podcast, which is where his radio show kind of grew from.
That's right, it's competing. Technically, I'm with the competitor right now.
So yes, I think they probably
go over to Busted Halo and get a hold of our podcast. But you won't hear my dulcet tones on that, unfortunately. I'm segregated out from the podcast
right.
For some reason. I'm doing the website. But yeah, so it's been an interesting, we redesigned a couple of years ago, and we've interviewed everybody from Jimmy Carter and novelist Anne Rice to Ron Hansen and recently Ryan Gosling, who...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, is a famous actor. So we really, you know, run the gamut, to be honest. We interviewed Sufjan Stevens, the songwriter, be interviewing Richard Russo next week, the novelist. So
that'll be up by the time people hear this.
By the time this comes up, I'm sure it will be. Yes, I have to be conscious of our delay, our lead time.
We're taping this in 2004.
Exactly. Oh man, I can't wait till the elections.
Now I should say that Bill McGarvey is the also a writer, a singer songwriter who has done the music for this show. So we should thank you for that.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for the checks. That
right.
Not well, come in the mail.
They're in the mail
for the royalties for playing it. No, actually, people. It's funny. People have said to me, they friends of mine who have listened to the podcast here have said, I think they're using your music.
We have permission.
Absolutely, from me.
And once we start making the big bucks and we're on Sirius, you'll get some of that.
Well, you should tell your listeners, Tim, that they can go to BillMcGarvey.com and you know, order some of that music for themselves, or go to iTunes and order it. At you know, under Bill McGarvey.
Well, I do plug your website on most programs and tell people that.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I do. So
I should listen in more.
That is the thank you you get for providing free music.
Well, thank you very much,
sir. So yeah, Bill McGarvey is also a singer songwriter, a multi talented individual, and we were also going to talk about Bruce Springsteen, someone we're both big fans of, and he's got a new record out, Magic it's called, and we were talking before the show here. It's a great record. I mean, the best since like the early 80s, I'd say.
For me, I said to somebody that's also a fan, I said, I think this is some of the stuff on there is the best things he's done, the best stuff he's done in 20 years, which the last, I thought, great album he did was Tunnel of Love in 1987. You know, not that some of the stuff on the other records since then hasn't been really good, but this is a really, I think it's a really, really well done record. And we were talking before that he's sort of, and the reason I think your audience will be interested in, because this, more and more as he gets older, his Catholic influences, his deep Catholic imagination are evident. There's so many images on this record that are just explicitly Catholic. They're not even just Christian, they're Catholic. Talks about the Stations of the Cross and lots of, you know, images of Christ on the cross. And there's just some beautiful stuff. He's allowed himself to be more, I think, sort of lush and romantic in his sort of writing on this record. Some songs like, you know, Your Own Worst Enemy and The Girls in Their Summer Clothes are just beautiful.
Right, great song. Great song.
Great songs, yeah.
Yeah, no, I guess it was the Entertainment Weekly reviewer said it was the best album since The River. Now
a lot of people are saying that, and I, you know, I'm just saying I really like Tunnel of Love as well, but I just think it's really exciting to see him. It's funny because as a fan, you know, you always feel like he's able to do a lot of different things, but maybe he holds himself off from it. You know, when he puts out a record like this, it's like he realizes, oh, he's had these cards up his sleeve, I think, for a while, and he could do it if he wants, but he doesn't choose
right.
to. And you almost wish as a fan, like, geez, I wish you did that more often.
He did seem like he's holding back. I mean, he did the Pete Seeger album, right. which was good, you know, but it was obviously a personal passion of his.
Right.
You know, he's a big Seeger fan, and he recorded a bunch of covers. And then he had the Devils and Dust album, which was back to a more acoustic, without the E Street Band right. sound. And I liked that album, and in fact, I reviewed it for Busted Halo.
That's right, yeah.
And one of the things that I wrote was that, yeah, you started to see his Catholic identity sort of come through. He seemed to be getting more comfortable with it.
Yeah, and it's interesting, if you buy the CD, and it's funny, last week I thought it dawned on me, there's a close-up picture, I think, by Mark Seliger, who's a very famous sort of rock and roll photographer, on the lyric book that's just a picture of Springsteen sort of from the neck, you know, to the top of his torso, and it's essentially a shot of his chest where these medals are, and on this chest there's a medal, there's a Miraculous medal, and there's a St. Christopher medal, and there's also, I believe, I don't know what the other medal is, but it's some sort of Christian or Catholic medal. And I thought about, I was telling you earlier, to call Dennis Heaney, who's the head of the Christophers organization in New York, and I said, I left him a message saying, I don't think you guys do music sort of Christopher Awards. Christopher Awards are, if your listeners aren't aware, is a sort of an annual award. It's pretty prestigious, been around for a long time, for people that are doing things in media that are uplift the human spirit. So they're a Catholic organization, but they don't specifically award Catholic. Actually, Jim Martin, who's
right.
you know, your colleague here, won last year for his book, My Life with the Saints. But I just thought to tell Dennis that they should think about giving a lifetime Christopher Award after seeing him, Bruce, wear this Christopher Medal, St. Christopher Medal. And I think
that's a great idea.
Yeah, you know, I just think it, because his work, I think, clearly fits into that. And I think, you know, it's deeply involved in the human experience and in sort of articulating what it is to, you know, be alive in America to a certain extent, you know, in 2007. So he's always a thoughtful songwriter. If he might not always hit the marks sometimes, but, you know, he's just a treasure. So, you know, you got to
keep an eye on him. From a musical perspective, you know, this album is very consistent. The sound, you know, it sounds like, as we were saying before, it has that sort of Phil Spector wall of sound vibe going. And it's just, you know, it sounds great. I mean, it has a contemporary feel, but it also harkens back to those early records.
And it's funny because Brendan O'Brien is his producer. Now, if you follow, Brendan O'Brien has produced everybody from like Pearl Jam to Matthew Sweet.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah, he might have done some. Yes, I think you're right. And I get the feeling, because he's outside the sort of little realm of Bruce's little coterie of people that he's worked with for decades now, that he's infusing some new ideas, or at least pushing him or challenging him to take risks. And, you know, Springsteen there is sort of a sense of that Phil Spector, but also that sort of Brian Wilson, Pet Sounds sort of, these sort of little perfect pop records, these moments of just really melodic and beautiful and romantic, almost like what a teenager sort of feels just in terms of love. And he really taps into that really well here. And I just love it. It's really lush and sort of, you know, kind of like, you know, gorgeous in a pop melody kind of.
Yeah,
pop sense,
great,
you know?
Pop music. We were talking about Girls in Their Summer Clothes, which is just as good as anything he's written in 20 years.
I agree. It's a really great song, and it's again, it just blows me away that the more I read that this guy is just, I think it was Andrew Greeley, who maybe in America 20 years ago or 15, yeah, I think it's 20 years ago, talked about, I think for the first time I ever saw it, Bruce Springsteen's Catholic Imagination. And man, if you follow him more and more, you realize how deeply Catholic his imagination is. You know, I don't have no idea where he is on Sunday mornings as far as church goes or whatever. But regardless of where he practices his faith, whatever, his imagination is just deeply imbued with the sacramental imagination, with the very Catholic imagination. So it's always kind of interesting to see those connections he makes. And I know as a songwriter myself, he's, you know, that ability of looking at the sort of world and sort of finding the kind of, you know, luminosity maybe behind it and the sort of sacredness behind the very ordinary is sort of something that's always been a part of my life and very inspiring.
Now, maybe for him, he's at a point in his career where he can do this and he's not going to lose listeners. I mean, he can write about faith and he's not going to alienate people. You know, people aren't going to say, who is this, you know, crazy Christian.
Right. Well, but it's not, and let me actually be clear, I don't think it's Christian. It's not Christian rock by a long shot.
No.
But he's using, you know, in the same way Tom Waits or any great writer will use the images that are resonant with us. And he has used those images down through his career. But I also think, you know, he definitely, you know, after the 2004 election, when he went out and put his neck on the line and basically, you know, vote, he sort of wanted to sort of get rid of George Bush. I think, you know, he probably risked losing a lot of fans then, maybe did. And so I think he's probably at a point in his career at age 58 that, you know, his celebrity is worth something and he's going to use it for something good, what he believes is good. And also, you know, at a certain point, he's making, you know, sort of doing things that interest him, which is always fun to see.
Yeah. But for a younger, you know, like yourself, a younger musician who's, you know, you're Catholic and, you know, that informs the way you write music. You're not a Christian rock artist in anything.
No.
In that sense, you know, in the sense that, you know, your lyrics aren't about, you know.
It's not praise and worship stuff,
right, exactly.
Which I think a lot of Christian rock ends up being. I mean, you know, my favorite writer, your imagination, you're animated by certain sort of ways of thinking about the world, and I think that comes out in the way you write. And so I think that's where his sort of sense of, you know, his Catholic imagination comes from. And I think people like Bono do the same thing. Bob Dylan has done the same thing in many ways, and there are a lot of people out there, Bono from U2, just so to clarify there, for people that might be listening who don't know that. But you should know that. Absolutely, you know, it's you know, I mean, art at its best, you know, talks about ultimate things and ultimate concerns and essential things. It's difficult to talk about those things without talking about God.
Yeah.
You know, so I think he's done that for a long time. And you know, for me, in my own life, that was sort of a very, and I do a thing called Beautiful Mess. I do it at some colleges. It's sort of a multimedia show that sort of brings in songwriting and storytelling and video. And it basically, I grew up in a very Catholic household, but you know, I say that, you know, my first religious experience came through a Bob Dylan song, you know, because it was an experience of truth that you felt through something that wasn't explicitly sacred, but it gave you sort of an intimation of what sacredness was and what truth was. And I think, you know, once you're able to make that connection, which I think Bruce kind of does, or doesn't see the distinctions between, you know, sacred and sort of the secular in the same ways that we often do in religious circles, I think that's a really profound moment.
Now, we should also plug your album, which is also called Beautiful Mess.
Beautiful Mess.
And it's been out for about a year now?
We should give people the time to just sort of ponder all these deep thoughts I've had on them. It's probably way too much for one. We might have to split this into five podcasts. Beautiful Mess is, well, it's funny. I've been selling, it's not on iTunes yet, that record. The first record, solo record called Tell Your Mother, is on iTunes. Beautiful Mess, I had been selling advanced copies for about a year now. At shows and on the web, but I'm just mastering it now and getting artwork together and, you know, hiring a publicity firm. You know, last year, National Catholic Reporter did a big story on me and put it on the cover and talked about the record, and it was sort of being finished right around then. So since then, I've been sort of dealing with a lot of different stuff, but trying to figure out what's the best way to get the record out there. And so I should be available in the new year, I guess, officially through, and also trying to, you know, get it out to get reviewed and whatnot.
Yeah. So. Well, you can hear samples on Bill.
You can hear samples. You can buy the advanced sort of copy, so through BillMcGarvey.com.
Right.
Absolutely.
Good. Well, I'd encourage our listeners to have a listen. It's good stuff. Anyway, Bill, thanks so much for coming. I hope you know we work close together. You're only a couple blocks away.
That's right.
You should come over here more often.
I'd love to come by. And I helped you buy this gear, right?
Yes, Bill was very helpful. And
I'm like the grandfather of this whole. I'm like the godfather of this podcast.
You are.
It's taken a long time to get. I guess I was supposed to come home for a while back, and I sort of screwed up. But no, it's great. It's you're doing good work here.
Well, thanks. We appreciate having you come by, and hopefully you'll come back soon.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
See you.
Thank you again for joining us for this week's edition of the America Magazine podcast. We'll be taking a break next week, so the next show will be dated November 26th. We'd like to thank Bill McGarvey again for joining us. Just for your information, the song that we play at the beginning of the show is called Turn Around, and it's from the album Beautiful Mess. And the song you're hearing right now is called Now, and that's from the album Tell Your Mother. Again, if you're interested in subscribing to our podcast, you can go to our podcast page on our homepage, or to americamagazine.podbean.com. This is Tim Reedy for America Magazine.